It's that most wonderful time of the day. soon we get to do Christmas in July, which is one of my favorites. I'm practicing. That's it. It's Arthur. It's Arthur. Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch. Take it away.
Well, I do have a pot pie report this week. I skipped last week. I've been trying to get to Trader Joe's now for weeks, plural. And finally, my next-door neighbor went to Trader Joe's, and she bought us the Trader Joe's chicken pot pie. And she got one for herself as well. Anyway, it was spoiled. Let me say that they don't sell these frozen, and maybe they should. They sell them, in quotes, fresh, and you bake them off at home, which sounds like a great thing, you know. But, in fact, somewhere in transit, this pie spoiled. And so Ellen went back to Trader Joe's, and you know what? They gave her her money back unquestionably, and apparently this is not the first time that these pies have soured because the clerk that she spoke to said this happens all the time. So I warn everybody, do not buy Trader Joe's, in quotes, fresh chicken pot pie. And besides that, ours was spoiled. It was wouldn't have been good even if it hadn't been spoiled. It was a pie full of mush. The only thing that there was to chew or even distinguish as an ingredient were the cubes of rather tough chicken. I had a laugh when I looked at this box again. It comes in a cardboard sleeve, and there's of course a picture of it on the sleeve, and it has whole rounds of carrot. Peas, you can distinguish every ingredient in the picture. Try to do that when you get the pie. The pastry was pretty good, I got to say, but that's it. And it wasn't hideous. It's a 25-ounce pie, so I figure enough for two, but they're figuring enough for three. A third of this pie would not satisfy me. Moving on, now that we're having a heat wave, and I'm sure we're going to have more over the summer. Summer just began. Let's remember. It's only a few days old, and it's going to be 100 degrees. So I'm into my cold food mode here. In fact, I made the other day in preparation for the 100 degree weather. I made a whole bunch of things that we could eat cold. In the still cool of the morning, among those was something I am going to make again, perhaps even today. It was caponata. Do you know what caponata is, Jill?
Ew.
Ooh?
I do.
Oh, you do. I thought you said ooh as in why I wouldn't.
No.
No, I love caponata, and for many years now I've been making a baked caponata. You put all the ingredients in a big roasting pan, drizzle it with a lot of olive oil, and stick it in the oven. Well, I certainly was not going to turn the oven on. And you need at least an hour for this, if not longer. So I went back to the old-fashioned way. I had an eggplant that I was going to wanted to cook one way or another. And so I went back to an old-fashioned way, which is to fry everything. You know, it's not cool even in the spring in Sicily. This is a Sicilian dish. And in my experience in Sicily, it's made many different ways. But the base is always eggplant, and it's always sweet and sour. So I had this nice, like, 1 1/4-pound eggplant. I cut it into cubes with the skin on. I would say rinse off the eggplant. Cut off the calyx, that's the green top. By the way, when shopping for an eggplant, look for ones that are shiny, firm, and the green part, the calyx, is still green and hasn't turned brown, because that's an indication of age. So you cut off the calyx end, and you cut the rest of the eggplant into 3/4-inch slices, and then you cut it across into 3/4-inch cubes. I actually salted my eggplant, which is not 100% necessary anymore the way they grow eggplants. But when you do salt an eggplant and you express some of that liquid, or a lot of that liquid that's in them, they absorb less oil. And that's a good point to do. So I salted the cubes. It's probably at least a teaspoon of salt, maybe more. Put a bowl in a colander. Put a bowl on top to press it all down, something that fit in the colander. And then I put some a heavy iron thing on top of that to give it some weight. And after an hour, it expressed a couple, 3 tablespoons, maybe more, of its juices, and they were black. And then I spread it out on a paper towel and dried it all up. And I would say I use a good quarter of a cup of my good but not best extra virgin olive oil, my cooking oil. You don't want to use your condiment quality oil here. If you don't want to use extra virgin olive oil, you could do this in any vegetable oil, but I much, much, much prefer olive oil because I'm going to reuse it anyway. So I did the eggplant, fried the eggplant until it was brown and round, and then I got it out with a slotted spoon, spatula, whatever it was, and put it in a bowl aside. In the oil, now I did this, by the way, in the eggplant took 2 batches to do in a 10-inch pan. When I had a little bit of oil left in the pan, and I added a little bit more oil, and I sautéed about a cup and a quarter of chopped onion and 2 big ribs of celery that I had cut into quarter-inch dice, more or less, and boiled, parboiled, for 5 minutes. Just stick them in the diced celery in a little pot of boiling water, and 4 or 5 minutes later, you can drain it, and that's that. So as the onion got tender, I added in my celery. And then I happened to have, and this was actually the inspiration for doing this altogether, I happened to have a half a can of really good tomatoes in the refrigerator because I'd only used a half a can for whatever I cooked before. And I did want to use them up before they spoiled. So I think it was 4 tomatoes, 4 canned San Marzano tomatoes and the juices from them. I put that in the pan, broke it all up with the side of my wooden spoon, basically made a little sauce, onion, celery, the tomato, salt and pepper, of course. And if you want to use a little bit of hot pepper, you can, but I didn't. But I did use a lot of black pepper. And you let that simmer down a little bit. And then I added, I would say it was 2 or 3 rounded tablespoons, 2 rounded tablespoons of salted capers that I had soaked. And then about some olives. I happen to have a lot of olives in the house, so I put in, I don't know, another quarter of a cup, more than a quarter of a cup of olives. But I say next time, which could very well be today, I'm going to cut up the olives a little more. I pitted the olives. You don't want anybody to bite into an olive and break a tooth. So please do pit your olives carefully. I don't buy pitted olives because I find they're not nearly as firm and precious as the ones that are unpitted, so I do bother to pit my own olives. Anyway, put the olives in this tomato sauce, stir it all around, let it simmer a few minutes, and then you add back in the fried eggplant and let that simmer. Now, some people will add raisins to this or currants. I didn't. Right. I didn't need the extra sugar, but it is a sweet and sour dish. So yesterday, or whatever day it was that I made this, I used balsamic vinegar. I have balsamic vinegar in the house. I rarely use it. I think this is a good place to use it. It was, and I'm sure I used at least, because you want sweet and sour, which is what balsamic vinegar is. At least 3 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar. But you do that to taste. Salt, make sure you have enough salt in there. Even when you've salted the eggplant, sometimes you still have to add salt. And I soak my capers for a good 15-20 minutes in cold water, so they're not really salty in the end either. I rinse them, soak them, rinse them again, soak them a little bit more, and they're not at all salty. And really good capers, I have to tell you, are really fragrant, flowery fragrant, because they are flower buds. This is a case where you could use the capers that are packed in vinegar or brine, because, well, brine is good, but vinegar, you know, that pickle, basically. But you can use that here because it's sweet and sour. In fact, you even could use a little bit of the caper liquid, maybe, to season your dish. And that's it. This is wonderful at room temperature. I let it simmer not very long, you know, maybe 15 minutes at the most. Some people add pine nuts to this. They're so expensive now, I haven't been buying them. But certainly pine nuts are a good addition. And also, as are, by the way, slivered almonds. I love nuts in this, so slivered almonds would be my choice these days. Anyway, this is delicious at room temperature. It's delicious cold. Bob and I like to eat it with tuna fish. This dates back to my teenage years when my friend's aunt, who I was extremely fond of and ate at her house numerous times, Aunt Nancy. Aunt Nancy used to open a can of Progresso caponata and add it to a can of drained tuna fish, as well as maybe a quarter or a half of a red pepper, or even a green pepper for that matter, diced for a little crunch. And that was her famous salad. Now, I have been looking for Progresso caponata for years now. I don't think they make it anymore. I have not seen it. But I did see Cento brand, C-E-N-T-O, Cento brand caponata in the supermarket recently. So I bought it, a little can. I'm thinking, oh, you know, one day when I'm lazy, we'll mix this with tuna fish. Well, I opened it up. Besides that, it stank. Stunk? What's the correct form of stink? It didn't smell good. And then I ate it, and it didn't taste good. So I actually tossed it all together, and I'm not buying canned anymore. And that actually was one of the reasons I had to make caponata. By the way, in Sicily, caponata can also be made with fish. I use a can of tuna fish, a la Aunt Nancy. But I don't add the diced pepper unless I happen to have one in the house, which I don't usually or often. Anyway, you know what you could use, which would be delicious, is, and I do keep this in the house, I keep a jar of giardiniera. Now, I have a recipe for giardiniera, which is pickled assorted vegetables, and it's in, I believe it's in the Southern Italian Table, and I have a friend who makes it all the time and says it's a great recipe. I haven't made it myself in a long time, but I can buy very good giardiniera, which is pickled carrots, cauliflower, those what they call Tuscan peppers, those little green peppers, celery. I think that's about it in the jar that I buy. It's very good. And they go into a lot of different things, especially in this hot weather. They spark up a can of tuna fish like nothing. I chop several of the vegetables fine, and I mix it in with mayonnaise and tuna fish. And we love that, actually. The other thing, so the caponata is really a king of the summer, as far as I'm concerned. It goes very, very good with fish, especially swordfish, I have to say, because that's Sicilian. But the other thing that I'm into is tarator. Now, look up tarator. You'll find it has several meanings, one of which is a Bulgarian, basically, yogurt soup with cucumber. It's like tzatziki, but it's thinner. It's a soup. You eat it with a spoon, cold. And then there is a tarator that I learned from a Turkish friend, and he mixes Greek yogurt with a little bit of sour cream and either tahini, to me, tarator must have nuts. So the tahini and yogurt is a very good combination with garlic. You don't need an herb, but you could have an herb. But I don't. I make it with walnuts. So the one that I made the other day was, I don't know, could be 3/4 of a cup of walnuts, I'll say, in my mini processor until it's almost a paste. And then you add your labneh, which I buy in the supermarket. If you don't have access to something labeled labneh, which is strained yogurt, definitely use Greek yogurt, you know, Faye, any brand you like. It's pretty much the same thing, not exactly, but The labneh I find is lighter than the. It's still got a nice percentage of fat, but it's lighter in texture than Greek yogurt, and I like it. So I then put in a container of labneh into my with my walnut. Oh, garlic! I use two nice sized cloves of garlic, grind it up with the walnuts, add the labneh, some salt, some pepper, and that's it. It's really good. I couldn't stop eating it. In fact, it's very, very good. And I spread it out on a plate so you can dip into it. It's a good, great dip, gotta say. And I garnish it with walnut halves. That really, and by the way, will last several days in the refrigerator. So some morning when you have the energy, you can make some and keep it around for a while. In the caponata state, you keep it around for a while. The one thing that I make in the summer that you can't keep around for a while is tabbouleh. Do you ever make tabbouleh, Jill?
No, I have not.
Well, finding the correct, or I should say appropriate, bulgur wheat is sometimes difficult. But I just bought Bob's Red Mill, which is extremely well distributed. I'm sure you have it locally, so I bought the bulgur.
By the way, we do, and we are big proponents of Bob's Red Mill, and that includes baking soda.
I Bob's Red Mill is very high level products,
but
so I did not
very
when
available.
I saw that that's the only bulgur I could buy. I was not disappointed. I did want, but I thought it looked a little too fine, but in fact it wasn't. In fact, it was sort of irregularly cracked wheat, which is a good thing. And I would not go by the recipe for tabbouleh on the package, not at all, unless you're feeding an army. But I use one big bunch of parsley and a few sprigs of mint that I managed to pick from my old herb garden here. The mint just keeps coming back. I have to say the mint didn't add too much flavor because it was overwhelmed by parsley. So one big bunch of parsley, some sprigs of mint, and chop it all up fine. And I would mix that with no more than a half a cup of bulgur wheat, which you've soaked in a cup of boiling water. I just put the half a cup in a measuring cup, and then I pour the boiling, out of the kettle out, right on top of it. Let it sit for an hour. You will see it will more than double in volume. And usually there's no excess water left. It really soaks up everything. But as you put it into the bowl with your chopped herb, you should squeeze it out a little bit in case there is a little liquid. So you mix that in with your chopped herbs. I also added, now you can use scallions minced. I would say 3 or 4 scallions minced. But I needed to use up some shallots that were going to probably spoil if I didn't use them within the next week. So I minced very finely a very large shallot, some olive oil, lemon juice, not vinegar, and I have to say, and tomato, diced tomato. So I have to say, you don't salt or vinegar this until you're ready to serve it. Tabbouleh, I don't feel, stands up very well once it's been mixed. The herb, the bulgur, the minced shallot or scallion, that you can all put in the bowl together. But I wouldn't dress it, oil and lemon juice, or salt it for them, and the tomato, until I was ready to serve it, and then eat it all up. We had it twice the day I made it, once at lunch and once at dinner. Gotta say, it was better at lunch. Even, several hours later, it had turned mushy. So that's another, I'm a hot weather thing. Another thing that I like to make is plain old buttermilk soup. You just, pour some buttermilk into a bowl and put in some chopped vegetables like cucumber, radish, scallions, bell pepper, sort of you name it. I could even shred carrot into that. I like a little garlic. I like a little herb. Dill is fabulous. I happen to have some dill now. Basil, all the soft herbs. So.
So now that you ate everything, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going. Good question. I already made it this morning. We're going to have for lunch, we're going to have cold spaghetti with sesame sauce. So I it's not the right sesame paste. You know, tahini is not the same as Chinese sesame paste. Even I here in Brooklyn have trouble finding sesame paste. I got to go to Chinatown pretty much to get it, go to one of the Chinese supermarkets. But I don't have any. But I did have a small amount of tahini. I used a lot of tahini, but there was really I didn't need it all. So maybe I had a quarter of a cup left in the can. So I threw in some soy sauce, rice wine vinegar, hot sauce. I have that sambal or whatever it's called, a big spoon of that, grated garlic. I do not have any fresh ginger, but I'm probably going to add a spoon of powdered ginger to that. Powdered ginger works and something like that. And that's it. Toss that with boiled spaghetti that I've rinsed off. If I'm making Italian food, I would never rinse off the pasta. But for this, I rinse off in cold water and toss it with the sauce. And then we want to garnish it. So I do have scallions to garnish it with. And I think I have a half a cucumber to garnish it with. You can garnish it with any. And I could, in fact, make a julienne of carrot. And that goes nicely. And that little crunch. And that's it. The other possibility, by the way, because this heat wave doesn't just last a day, is we're going to have crudaiola, which is Italian raw sauce, meaning diced tomato, basil. I put celery in mine because I like the crunch. And I let it sit for hours from the morning until the afternoon with some olive oil and salt. And just toss that with some spaghetti or macaroni and it's refreshing, don't you think?
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. What are you going to eat in the hot weather?
Cold spaghetti.
Pardon me?
Cold spaghetti.
Cold spaghetti. You know what I bought the other day? Because my niece told me this is... My niece has two children, 12 and 14. And so it's about time that they fended for themselves a little bit. And she allows them to make mac and cheese. So they don't make the Kraft box of mac and cheese. She told me they make Annie's mac and cheese. So I went ahead and bought what I thought was the mac and cheese that the kids eat. I wanted to see what they were eating. But it ends up, there's two Annie's mac and cheeses. The one I bought is the microwave in a cup version. And the one that Rachel buys for her kids to make themselves is a stovetop version. And I wouldn't be surprised if the stovetop version tasted better than the microwave version. Though the microwave version was not terrible. It wasn't very much food, but it wasn't terrible. I mean, it doesn't make much food. So that's the story there.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, when it gets hot like this, I really don't want to eat.
That's good.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. But I do want to drink. So, and we all should be constantly hydrating in this hot weather. And my new beverage of choice is diet ginger ale.
But the diet, you know, the aspartame, what they put in the diet anything.
Yeah.
Is not hydrating, but what's the
Well, I don't know.
Opposite?
You know, whatever it is, I'm enjoying it, okay?
So you
and
drink
I only
it.
Have one
have
maybe
some water.
At the most two a day. And all the chromosome damage has been done on me already. So I don't worry about it.
I'm not talking about chromosome damage. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about straight hydration.
Oh, straight hydration. Well, I drink a lot of water.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm not drinking it for hydration. I'm drinking it for pleasure.
That's all I'm saying.
And I drink water for hydration, but I also drink it for pleasure because I happen to like water. I had a friend a long time ago who said she hated the taste of water, and I'm still wondering what that is.
I don't know, but I have a friend who does that too.
She won't drink water because she doesn't like
the taste. She doesn't like the taste of water, and I can't believe it because that is probably my favorite thing in the whole world.
Well, I love a good. we drink very nice filtered water here, and it tastes very good. And as cold, I don't drink it on ice. I just drink it out of the refrigerator. But sometimes I don't mind drinking it at room temperature. It depends on the temperature of the room. So anyway.
No, I've always tried to figure out how it is. What taste that is that people don't like.
Yeah, what is that taste?
I don't know.
To me, whatever it is very refreshing. All right, kiddies.
All right.
It's time to cool down. I couldn't turn on the air conditioner because it makes too much noise on the radio.
So off you go then.
As soon as I get off, I have to turn on the air here.
Okay.
Because it's already telling me it's 94 in Brooklyn.
No, that's enough. The whole mental, you look at the thermometer and you go, oh my God, I've got to turn the AC on.
Well, I can feel it. I'm schwitzing.
I'm
schwitzing. Everybody, if you're not Yiddish, schwitzing
and you don't
means
know
perspiring.
If you do,
my mother would never let me use the S word. I didn't S. I perspired.
That's funny. All right. Well, thank you. We so appreciate it. And
okay, keep cool. Everybody, stay cool.
And
fan yourself if you have to.
And as they say. Thank you very much.
And drink a lot of water.
Bob, this has been The Food Bench, Arthur Schwartz on Robin Hood Radio.